Good afternoon, Patriots. This is Praying Medic, and this is my QAnon update for Saturday, July 18th. Welcome to the broadcast. Those of you who are following along at home doing your own decodes, you can find Q posts on a number of different websites, including QAnon.pub and QAG.news. And I would like to make a little announcement here. This week, Twitter decided that they were going to ban the use of the URL for qmap.pub. So if you're looking around on Twitter for any of my threads, and those particular threads have the qmap.pub URL in them, they'll actually be invisible. You won't be able to find them. I don't know why Twitter would be afraid of allowing that link to be out there, but they have banned it. Can't send it in private messages, can't post it in a tweet. If you are looking for an app, mobile app, for your Android device to get notifications when Q is posting, Q Alerts and Q Map are still available. You have to go to the websites and install them manually. They're not available in the Play Store. My theme for this broadcast is prepare for zero-day attacks. But before we jump into that, if you're new to Q or you're looking for some information on Q's operation, maybe you have friends and family who need a little red pill, you might want to check out my book, Calm Before the Storm, Q Chronicles, Volume 1. In this book, I discuss a lot of the main subjects Q talked about early on in his operation. So the end of October and then into November and December of 2017, talk about Clinton Foundation, Barack Obama, the Iran deal, some of the main players in Q's operation, General Flynn, Admiral Rogers. There's also a glossary in the back of the book that has over 500 abbreviations, acronyms, terms that you may not be familiar with that Q uses. You can find Calm Before the Storm on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you're going to get the book on Barnes & Noble, you want to check on the website. Don't order it through the brick and mortar stores. They may be able to order it, but it's much easier to get it online. All right, let's jump into our thread for today. Q posted a link to a summary of newly declassified documents related to the source of allegations included in Christopher Steele's anti-Trump dossier. Two sets of documents in this declass. The first was a redacted transcript of an interview with Christopher Steele's primary subsource. And that source said that Steele exaggerated a lot of his statements. The FBI then exaggerated the claims that Christopher Steele put in the dossier. There's a summary that Q posted a link to on Senate Judiciary. And then on that page, there is a link to the redacted transcript. It's a transcript of several days worth of questions and answers, heavily redacted. There's a second declassified document that contains typewritten comments by former FBI agent Peter Strzok, who refuted assertions that were made in a New York Times article about alleged Russian intelligence ties to the Trump campaign. So this document has, it's an article, New York Times, that made allegations, and then Strzok's comments are in the margin over here. And regarding one of his comments, he said, "This statement is misleading and inaccurate as written. We have not seen evidence of any individuals affiliated with the Trump team in contact with IOs, Russian intelligence officials." So Strzok basically knocking down some assertions in this New York Times article. Here's a second example. There's several of them in this declassified document. I'm just giving you some examples. Strzok also wrote regarding an allegation in this paragraph that Paul Manafort picked up on a phone call with a Russian intelligence official. Strzok wrote, "We are unaware of any calls with any Russian government officials in which Manafort was a party. If this material is held by the U.S. intelligence community, we are not aware of it. Both CIA and NSA are aware of our subject." So Q posted a link to those two documents, then posted a link to a Washington Times article where basically they describe how Strzok and a number of FBI officials were carefully watching President Trump days before, during, and immediately after his inauguration. And Strzok was pretty angry that he was actually not kept in the loop on some of the documents, the chain of emails that were being sent back and forth at that time. Q posted a link to a tweet by Emerald Robinson, breaking, "Sources inside the Trump administration confirmed to me that Center for Disease Control has been misreporting the data for coronavirus to inflate the numbers." Well, we've known that for a long time. So Q responded, "What would be the primary purpose of inflating COVID-19 numbers? Who benefits the most? Pro-America versus anti-America. Infiltration, all assets deployed, election not virus Q." So by inflating the COVID-19 numbers, we keep people locked down. Joe Biden doesn't have to do debates. Gives more ammunition for people who want to push vote by mail. There's a lot of reasons why inflating the numbers would help certain people. And then we have this. This is a tweet from Andrew Bostom, which Q linked to. It's data on deaths in Texas from the flu from 2017 to 2019 compared to deaths from COVID. And he noted, this is from DSHS Texas numbers, infection in the type of year. So we have influenza deaths 2017 to 2018. There's only less than 12,000, 11,917. The following year, 2018 to 2019, there were a little over 10,000 deaths. And then COVID-19 deaths 2020, 3,322. So in Texas, far fewer people have died from COVID this year than in any of the two previous years from influenza. And Q posted a link to that. CDC COVID-19 data actually lower than reported. Why did select Democrat governors for mandate nursing home COVID-19 positive insert election not virus win by any means necessary? Q. We know that governors in several states have mandated nursing homes take COVID-19 patients, and it looks like that may have been an intentional move to increase the positive results, which is a pretty sick thing when you think about it. Q posted a link to this article. Center for Disease Control is now claiming that its labs were contaminated, and that's the reason that there were so many false positive COVID tests. So Q responded, "How do you provide cover for invalid positive test results? Think pawpaw. The swamp runs deep. News is fake. The war is real." Q. The pawpaw reference here, that goes back to, I think this was in March or April, when Tanzania's president cried foul when he sent in samples of goat and pawpaw tissue, unbeknownst to the testers, and those samples came back positive for COVID. So that was kind of the early beginnings where people were suspecting that maybe the samples were being tested and given false positive results. Article here from Fox News, they did a Fox News 35, did a deep dive into the number of positive cases in Florida, and they found out that there's widespread inaccuracy in reporting. Here's a quote from the article. Orlando Health confirmed to Fox News that the 98% positive figure is incorrect and the positivity rate is actually 9.4%. This is just kind of representative of a lot of other areas in Florida where the reported positive COVID cases was much higher than actual. So Q posted a link to that article. How important is Florida regarding the 2020 election? One lab, possible human error. Countless labs, deliberate, coordinated. Largest coordinated mis or disinformation campaign ever to be pushed by controlled entities. Who benefits the most? Q. Well, we know who benefits the most. That would be the Democrats. Q posted a link to this. Alexander Bauman made a good discovery here. Safety standards and core values for Washington State conveniently end the day after the election. Is this about the virus or the election? Who benefits most? It's actually not the day after, it's 2 days after the election, but his point is valid. Washington State guidelines for occupational health and safety were revised on May 26th Those revisions included restrictions for businesses with respect to COVID that expire on November 5th. Here's the document. And it was updated on 26th of May. And at the bottom it says, note, emergency rule, Washington Administrative Code 296-800-14035. The 2019 novel coronavirus prohibited business activities and non-compliance with conditions for operations effective July 8, 2020 through November 5th, 2020. And those guidelines are appended to the end of the book. So they knew that there would be no point in continuing the COVID hoax after President Trump wins in November. So they've proactively written their guidelines to end the charade immediately after the election. Q posted a link to that status and wrote, COVID-19 narrative kill date, election day plus one, right? So the following day, November 4th, election's on the 3rd. So Q has been telling us for some time that the narrative on COVID-19 is going to become ineffective or pointless the day after the election. Then he writes, prepare for zero-day attacks on 11/14. Then in brackets, we've got massive cyber and power attempts. All right, so I'm going to break this down in great detail, actually. Part of it now, part of it in just a few minutes. I spent a lot of time thinking and researching this. Just briefly, a zero-day attack is a term that's used to describe the exploitation of a software vulnerability. And I initially thought that since Q operates in the field of military intelligence, the term zero-day could be a reference to the day after the election combined with an attempted cyber attack. I don't think that's the case anymore. I thought about this overnight. Glad I didn't do the video last night. And I have a friend who actually works in information systems, and he sent me an email this morning giving me some things to think about. Q did explain on June 4th that we could expect attempts to silence the president on Twitter, and that there would be an attempt central communications blackout continental U.S. Right, so this is not a new thing. Q has brought it up in the past. During a question and answer session in 2018, Q answered a question about safeguards that were in place to prevent attempts to shut down the internet. So the question was, is the internet infrastructure being safeguarded to prevent shutdown? Q said the NSA has the ability to overreach internet hosts. It's a possibility. But if it's possible, we need to know if it's how likely is it and how possible is it. But I'm not sure that to what degree the NSA or any other agency has the ability to prevent attacks on the internet. And there's a lot of different ways it can be done. And this is, I think, referring to the infrastructure, all right, not the software programs that run the internet. It's a different story. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Also, concerning power outages, that same day, Anon asked, should we be prepping for some kind of shutdown? And Q responded, no. Reports of power grid attacks that you need to have 6-month preparation should be disregarded. While attacks do occur, we are safeguarded by a black eye. All right. At the time this was posted, I did a lot of research, probably for a couple of days, trying to figure out what this black eye reference was. And I came up with a lot of possibilities, but nothing conclusive. I don't at this time know what the black eye is. A lot of people have ideas, speculation. No one's been able to show me anything that conclusively says what the black eye is that safeguards power grids. I don't know what it is. The bad actors in the deep state, they can try to shut down the power grids. They can try to take down the internet. They're not going to stop what is coming. They're not going to stop it. So this morning, QStorm111 pointed out the sickening truths about child trafficking that are hidden in plain sight in Disney stories. And he posted these screenshots from Pinocchio. Meanwhile, Honest John and Gideon were at a tavern. A fat coachman was there too. Honest John bragged about how much stromboli he had paid them for Pinocchio. I pay even more for small boys, said the coachman. He showed them a sack full of gold, and this other page here. He brought boys to a place called Pleasure Island. He said, no boys ever return, at least not as boys. Honest John decided to catch more small boys. So the implication here is that we're talking about buying and selling children and going to an island, and the boys never returning from the island, at least not as boys. There are allusions here to child trafficking that are somewhat descriptive of what Jeffrey Epstein has been doing. So Q posted a link to that status. Do not give up the citizen investigation. Public awareness is important. It bypasses the controlled, approved topics. General public is steered by MSDNC like a dog steering sheep. Have faith in humanity. Q. So we need to continue our research on those subjects and keep making the connection. Just wanted to mention this regarding Disney. I have a friend who was a victim of high-level satanic ritual abuse. She is easily triggered by the innocent mention of well-known lines and titles of Disney movies. I actually met her in person for the first time years ago at a conference where I was speaking. And I just watched her get triggered talking about certain Disney movies. Now, when I say triggered, what I mean is that the use of certain words will trigger memories that cause her alternate personalities to emerge. People who go through satanic ritual abuse, the trauma that they inflict, the emotional trauma, causes the soul to be fractured and you develop multiple personalities. The reason why evil people subject people to emotional trauma and they create multiple personalities is that the personalities can then be programmed to do whatever you want them to do. That's the whole point of mind control. You create personalities that willingly do things that a normal person would not do. Through repetitive programming, you can get an alter to commit acts of murder or sex acts or anything else you can think of on demand. Things that the person would not normally do, one of their alters will do when they're programmed to do it. That's the point of mind control. Now, Q has, in the past, referred to these mass shooters and has asked, why doesn't the FBI interview their therapists? Why do they have therapists? Because a lot of them are the victims of mind control. And what you do is you trigger using certain words, certain stimuli. You can make these alters come up, take over control of the person's body. They will do whatever they're supposed to do, whether they're told to kill a bunch of people at a mall, and then that persona will go back down and the main personality will come back up. That's called switching. I wrote a novel and published it last summer called The Gates of Shiloh. The Gates of Shiloh is about a woman who has multiple personalities. And that whole dynamic about switching and the alters that being triggered is discussed in that novel. Oddly enough, one of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, Virginia Giuffre, has referred to Ghislaine Maxwell as Geppetto and Jeffrey Epstein as her Pinocchio. So Giuffre actually has suggested that Maxwell is the mastermind of this sex trafficking and blackmail operation, and that Epstein was basically a puppet. That is a new twist. This is a link to an article here in the New York Post. Q posted a link to that article, and then repost from July 2nd, where he wrote, possible that Epstein was a puppet, not the main person of interest, financed by who or what foreign entities. So Q's suggestion that Epstein was a puppet takes on a different light when we think about the fact that Virginia Giuffre has said he actually was a puppet and Ghislaine Maxwell was running the operation. All right, so Q posted a link to this article from the Washington Examiner. It's from 2019, December, that explained how a man who had accused Kevin Spacey of sexual assault died by suicide. He was the third Spacey accuser to die in 2019. Q posted a link to that article. This marks the third Spacey accuser to die in 2019. At what point does it become painfully obvious? Are these people really dying by suicide, or is there something else going on? Q posted a link to this article by Breitbart. The 11th church has been vandalized by a group of people who are spray painting satanic and anarchist symbols on the churches. So Q posted a link to that article and said 5x5, loud and clear. Well, I think if you're a Christian, you understand what those attacks represent. They do not want you expressing your faith and going to church and living your life with God. That is loud and clear to me anyway. Q wrote this: when was the last time you witnessed a Democrat Party leader being patriotic, exhibiting national pride and love of country? When was the last time you witnessed a Democrat Party leader speak out against the riots, violence in the streets? MSDNC projecting peaceful protests? When was the last time you witnessed a Democrat Party leader support those who took an oath to protect and defend? When was the last time you witnessed a Democrat Party leader support and call for unity across our nation? Why do they want people divided? Why do they want people categorized? Who controls the Democrat Party leaders? F. Foreign, the great D. Seavers. Q. Foreign countries are controlling a lot of our politicians, and I think a lot of them are controlled by China. And there's abundant evidence to suggest that. It's coming out more and more. If you listen to Bill Barr's speech the other day, I would recommend listening to it. You can find it on YouTube, the entire speech. It's about 47 minutes. He very clearly lays out the case about how America has been fighting this war against China for decades. And China has infiltrated academia, politics, Hollywood, you name it. China has done a very good job of controlling people at the very top, and it's finally being exposed. Here's one Democrat who had an admirable display of patriotism and love of country.
In the long history of the world, only a few generations have been granted the role of defending freedom in its hour of maximum danger. I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. I do not believe that any of us would exchange places with any other people or any other generation. The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And the glow from that fire can truly light the world. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man. Finally, whether you are citizens of America or citizens of the world, ask of us here the same high standards of strength and sacrifice which we ask of you. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own.
Q posted a link to this tweet. Let you listen to the speaker here.
Wir sind nicht alleine. Ich fasse die Hammer auf. When we go on.
Q responded, "When the news is no longer trustworthy, it is up to each of us to use discernment. Have faith and trust in yourself. Unity, not division. Where we go one, we go all." Q. All right, a little deeper dive on Q's warning. Prepare for zero-day massive cyber power attacks, attempts on 11-4. The classic scenario of a zero-day attack is when a bad actor finds a security vulnerability in a software program, and rather than reporting it to the software maker, they exploit it. A security vulnerability can be exploited as long as the software company is unaware of it. Once they are aware of it, they usually design a patch that removes access through that vulnerability. I have a close friend who has worked for Microsoft since the early 1980s. He's worked in a lot of different areas in the company, including security. And the running joke in our little group of people was, always use the oldest version of Microsoft Windows that you can get by with, because every new version of Windows that comes out is much more complex, but also has a lot more vulnerability as far as security goes, much more easy access for hackers to come in through vulnerabilities. So for years, I've always used the oldest version of Windows that I could get by with. The WikiLeaks Vault 7 dump exposed the fact that the CIA had been accumulating software vulnerabilities for years and exploiting them instead of reporting them to software manufacturers. That was one of the big scandals about WikiLeaks Vault 7. So what an agency is supposed to do when they find software vulnerabilities is report it to the company so they can make a patch and fix it so that it can't be exploited. Well, the CIA was accumulating vulnerabilities, and that's the huge problem with zero-day attacks, is that if someone wants to accumulate all these software vulnerabilities, they don't report them, then they have access, backdoor access, to software programs like Windows, Google Chrome, browsers, any kind of software that you can think of. They all have vulnerabilities, and if you have known what those vulnerabilities are, you can exploit them. That was a problem with recent hacking and ransom demands. During one of the examples is the WannaCry ransomware attack, where hackers held hostage the British health program. And their national health program was hit by this WannaCry hack because they had a zero-day exploit. And they can effectively just take you offline. They shut down your computers. They shut down your internet access. And then they demand payment. You know, you have to give us so many Bitcoin before we're going to call off this attack. So that's the issue with zero-day exploits, is if they're not reported and they're not patched, it gives malicious hackers access, basically where they can shut down an entire country or a health system, their access to their programs, their patient data, and in some cases, the internet. So I think Q is warning that bad actors who have accumulated software vulnerabilities may be thinking about exploiting all those vulnerabilities on the same day, November 4th, the day after the election, launching a massive zero-day attack in an attempt to derail President Trump's second term in office. Also, to cause a lot of chaos, because a lot of these people are going to be arrested. I'm not saying there's going to be a mass arrest after the election, but after the election, things are going to get infinitely worse for the bad guys. So rather than breaking the internet the way most people would envision it, a massive zero-day exploit would attack the software and devices that we use to access the internet. All right, so you don't break the backbone of the internet. You take down people's ability to access it through their devices. And here are just a couple of the problems that I could see. What would happen if vulnerabilities in web browsers like Safari, Firefox, Edge, Chrome, and Brave were all exploited on the same day? Anyone who uses a desktop computer to access the internet would be locked out. If you use a tablet or a phone to access the internet, a zero-day exploit of your device's operating system could lock you out. And we know for a fact that such vulnerabilities exist. If you have a smart TV or refrigerator, they run on software programs, and they could also be affected by a zero-day exploit. I don't know if they could be, you know, powered down and made unusable, but they could certainly be affected by an attack. So if Q's use of the word power along with cyber attack is a warning about an attack on the power grid, I would assume that bad actors believe that the vulnerabilities that they have access to will be enough to take down power grids, because the control systems of the power grids depend on software programs that have these vulnerabilities. This is just my best guess on what Q might be alluding to in that warning. I don't know at this point what the plan is to mitigate any potential attacks. I'm just putting this information out there for people who might benefit from it. And that gets us caught up to Q for today. Thank you for sharing this on social media. If this broadcast has encouraged you, you might want to subscribe to my channel. If you want to support me on Patreon, the link to my Patreon page is in the description box. The link to my book, Calm Before the Storm, is also in the description box. Please keep me and Denise in prayer. Keep Q and the team in prayer. Keep the president in prayer. Love you all. Take care. I will catch you on the next broadcast.